Quicksilver Messenger Service, a really great band from the 1960s. Yeah, I tried to boost the sound up. The music is recorded kind of low volume. It's really a fantastic song. Pride of Man. And, of course, it suits what the subject we're discussing. Welcome, folks. Yahweh's Covenant People here on Eurofolk Radio for May 19, 2017. Pastor Greg Howard is with me again this evening. We're going to be continuing our study of the Apocalypse of Baruch. How are you doing, Pastor Greg?
Brother, I can't even really tell how I'm doing. I find myself alive in the weirdest moment of time that right? The planet has maybe ever seen.
And oh, man.
Yet here we are doing a show exploring Yahweh's Word. So
amen.
I'm going to say I'm doing well.
It's the best of times. It was the worst of times.
What is there to say? I'm doing well.
Yeah,
and
right,
it's a privilege to be with you doing a show and exploring the spectacular revelation that a handful of people on the planet even know exist.
Yeah.
And yet here we are breaking it down.
But
it's amazing stuff.
I sense the appreciation is increasing. Every day there's more and more people becoming more Jew savvy. And we just had Paul English just put up a video of a Canadian guy talking about the Jewish matrix of deceit and how you got to be really stupid to believe in a holy hoax, right? So there's people coming
out. How many shows could we do on the holy hoax to break it down and absolutely categorically dismantle it to the point where people realize – I'm not going to say the BS word, but it's just complete. It's Hollywood fiction.
Yes,
it was a satanically rabbinical contrived guilt trip, so they could found that cursed piece of land that they stole back in 1948. And as Brother Adolf clearly stated, they would establish a world criminal headquarters there and a land of refuge where they could flee when their, you know, nefarious activities were found out.
Okay.
That's all it is. It's a criminal headquarters, and they flee there, and no nation can pull a Jew out of there once they flee there.
Right,
I'm convinced Bernie Madoff is sunbathing out there, having sex with white women every other day.
Right.
Is he really in prison? I would bet against it.
Or with she-devils.
You know? I mean, we're living in the weirdest time the planet has ever seen. Yet somehow Yahweh has pulled out a remnant of his children. Obviously, all white.
Pulled out a rabbit out of a hat. Okay.
There's a remnant on the planet.
Yeah, amen.
99% of our people have no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't even know I could be accurate to say there's 1% that know what's going on.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's 1% or less.
So people.
There's no way it's more than 1%.
Yes.
When was the last time you ran into a white man or a white woman that, you know, said, Eli, I don't really know you, but why are all these dark races flooding our lands?
That's right.
You know, all these lands were founded by white people, yet we're being flooded by dark races. That cannot be right. What the hell is going on?
Yes.
My daughter wants to date a black, and inwardly I'm screaming that is the worst possible thing that could ever happen, yet she wants to do it. And inwardly, I know it's something of the devil.
Amen.
When was the last time you met such a person?
Yeah, very rare. Very rare. Although people are calling me up more frequently from my old friendships from college days.
Yeah.
My buddy's wife called me up and said, "Hey, Eli, you remember when you used to sit in our living room arguing with Judeo-Christians saying, talking about how the world is going to hell and the Jews are responsible for it all. Well, you were right."
Oh, yeah.
40 years ago. All right. So it took her all this time. Well, she listened at least politely in those days. Now she realizes it's all true. It's all true. But so people are slowly waking up. By the way, just a quick note here. I had heard a rumor today about Julian Assange being found dead, but fortunately that rumor turned out to be false. However, it turned out to be good news, actually. The country of Sweden has dropped the rape charges against Julian Assange, and I don't know what you know, where these accusations stems from. However, Swedish prosecutor Marianne Nye released a statement Friday announcing the country will discontinue the investigation regarding suspected rape by Julian Assange. Assange, who has long denied allegations of sexual assault, posted a photo of himself smiling on Twitter to celebrate. However, he still does not dare leave the Ecuadorian embassy in the city of London, where several other countries are waiting to snatch him and take him to their various countries to try him for this and that. Usually, you know, leaking truthful documents. Okay, I guess that's a crime in most countries in the world today. But so that's good news. The sexual assault charges against Julian Assange have been dropped. Praise Yahweh. Thank you very much. Okay. So that's a good
brother
thing.
First of all, I would like to thank Pastor Steve for filling in for me in my crazy, complicated new job that I have, where Zog has, you know, forced me where I'm going to have to work till I'm about 90 before I can retire. And thank you, Brother Steve. Yeah. We're overdue to talk. We're going to make that happen here this week.
Yeah.
I'll contact you personally, and we'll talk.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Very good. Yes. Thank
what
you,
a, what a bizarre time we're living in. And the beauty of the apocalypse of Baruch is he predicts all of it. The bewilderment, yes. The confusion. Our race doesn't know what the hell is going on. They're being pounded. They're being pulverized. They're being told it's fine for your children to date blacks. In fact, you know, it will help our race out to have that genetic mix. You know, the white race is clearly evil, so we must brown them out a little bit and, you know, add in some Negro genetics and it'll all work out. And, you know, if your daughter wants to date a Negro and Barrett's child, well, that's perfectly fine because, you know, the world is too white and the white race has clearly been evil.
Yeah.
So let her bear a black baby. And, you know, if the white race just disappears, I mean, that's got to be a good thing, right? Is that not the...
Yeah,
I have to,
that's the
brother.
Prevailing.
Once in a while, I want to unleash some serious swear words, and
yeah,
I try to
right.
subdue myself. But is that not the message our young people are being taught today?
Yes, they are.
But, Yahweh show mercy on any white family that sends their young daughter, especially their daughters, but their sons too, off to some Yahweh, some wretched, cursed Jew-run. I'm subduing serious swear
right.
words.
Yeah.
State-run university or any college at this point where the shit they're teaching them just basically
garbage, yeah.
throws them into bed with a dark race.
Yeah.
I got to shut up or I'm going to start
Negress.
Swearing.
Negress.
I know. Right. They want to eliminate us from the earth. This is the
right.
seed line of Cain, who is alive and well and thriving, but they're nervous, but they are still here. And they have one mission in their pathetic, eternally cursed life, to take as many of us out on the way to hell as they can do.
Yes.
And they have been amazingly successful.
Yes.
And yet here we are tonight, a handful of us. I don't know how many are listening to what we talk about tonight. 15, 20, 30, 40, I don't know. It might even be 6 or 8. I don't even look at the numbers. I only look at the fact that Yahweh doesn't call millions of people to salvation. He calls one at a time. And if there's 8 or 10 or 12 people listening to us tonight, praise Yahweh that for those 10 or 12.
Yes.
You know, that's all I can say.
Well, we
Brother,
have three or four
war
people
has
in the
been
chat
declared
room.
Upon our race.
Yeah.
From the Garden of Eden to this moment of time. And that's the beauty of this book that we are breaking down. Baruch might be the greatest. I'll tell you the truth. I would rank the Apocalypse of Baruch above the Book of Revelation.
Okay.
I don't even have to think about it. I think Baruch kicks John's ass. And the Book of Revelation
in a
is
nice
an amazing,
way.
Spectacular
nice
book. And I don't mean any disrespect right. to the Book of Revelation, believe me, when I say that.
Okay.
The Book of Revelation is... Yeah. On it, 1 out of 10, it's a 10.
Yeah, right.
But the Apocalypse of Baruch is also a 10 out of 10 in a more detailed and fascinating and racially unveiling way. The Apocalypse of Baruch brings race into the matter.
It sure does.
And that's the beauty of the apocalypse. The apocalypse unveils the fact that race is the key point in salvation.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the Bible can be confusingly preached where, you know, universal salvation is there. You know, anybody can come to Jesus Christ and repent and blah, blah, blah. And he died to save everybody, John 3:16.
Yeah.
But the apocalypse makes it clear that that is not the case at all.
Yes, yes. Well, here, last time we discussed chapter 70 in the apocalypse, which was the consummation vision, okay, the destruction by fire, that, you know, all the other prophets of the Old Testament and New Testament all predict this.
Absolutely.
Consummation by
fire. And the unification of all of the messages of Isaiah, of Daniel, of Ezekiel, of all the minor prophets, of the New Testament writers, it all is so incredibly cohesive.
Yes.
There's not a chance that it could ever be by chance happen.
Yeah, and I had a select quotation from Ezekiel because it fits so well.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Read on, brother.
To chapter 70, 71, and 72 of the Apocalypse of Baruch. And it reads, this is chapter 39, verses 21 through 29. And I will set my glory among the nations. It reads heathen, but it should say nations. And all the nations shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. This is talking about Yahweh passing judgment upon our house, the house of Israel. So the house of Israel shall know that I am Yahweh their God from that day and forward. And the nations shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because we have to know that too. And, you know, as you were saying, very, very few white people understand that they're Israelites and don't understand who they are and why Yahweh is judging.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Brother, I don't remember that I've ever met. I've met occasional people that go, you know, when a black guy walks by me, I get nervous. I don't know why. I think I'm a racist. That's the average white person with a minuscule amount of awakeness.
Right.
most of the rest of them are worse than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't even want to think of about it in a percentage basis because it freaks me out.
Yeah, right.
It's way less than 1 or 2% of our people have a clue.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Right. Well, that's why we're here, to change that, okay?
Absolutely.
But, yeah, because they trespassed against me, therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. And that's happened again today. The Zionists totally control our nations. So they fell all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob. And I think it means here the, what's the word here? It's a bad translation. It should read a release from captivity is what it really should say.
Okay.
It's a bad phrase, a bad turn of phrase. But let's see what Pastor Steve, restore the captives is how it should actually read. Restore the captives. And in other words, this is good. This is good stuff. This is good stuff.
Amen.
Happening to us. Okay. And I will have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name. After that, they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me when they dwelt safely in their land. Yeah. Restore or bring back. Bring back to me is really what the phrase means here. The King James has really got it backwards. And then none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am Yahweh their Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, For I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith Yahweh Elohim. This is a prophecy that we will finally understand who we are, and the nations will recognize us as being his chosen people, Israel. Everybody will know.
Brother, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I'm just going to sit back and listen.
Okay, sorry. I just ran out of gas. but
that's why there's two of us.
Right.
You know, we are going to win. Our race triumphs in the end. That is the beauty of this book, The Apocalypse of Baruch. We get our asses kicked for about 2,500 years.
There you go.
And I don't even know what went on before the garden. Right. I have my own theories, but I can't prove them. It was all weird, bizarre. Angels coming down and having sex with anything that moves, and bizarre things were going on. And Yahweh said, all right, that's it. That's it. I'm killing everybody with the flood, and we're starting kind of over. Yep. And I'm going to save Noah, come here. Noah, you are the one pure white-blooded family that hasn't participated in all of this insane nonsense. You are the seed that will continue, and Enoch proved that to us. Yes. And here we are, and we are so close to the end of this crazy age. And that is the chapter that we're getting into tonight. And I did kind of want to do a review of chapter 70, because basically this entire series of shows, I mean, we could do a couple of years on the whole book of Baruch, Apocalypse of Baruch.
Yeah.
We only chose really one vision of Baruch to do this series of shows. And that was the vision of the bright and dark waters, which is bright waters is the white race. Dark waters is the seed line of Cain. Uh-huh. This is the absolute confirmation.
Allied dark races with the seed line of Cain.
This is the confirmation that two seed line Christian identity is the true Christianity. And I hate to even use that term. It is the true understanding of all Scripture to realize that there are two seed lines on the earth. There is the white race, which is the divine holy seed line, and there is the satanic seed line. And what we will never understand till the end of time is how far it has spread. Mm-hmm. Are all the other races apart from us part of it? Are some of them?
Well, certainly being manipulated.
If we ever sit down over a glass of good whiskey, I'll give my opinion. But I can't prove it. But I have my opinion.
Right.
And I don't even want to give my opinion. I only want to preach what I can prove.
Right.
But I can prove there are two seed lines.
Yes.
There's the seed line of Cain. How far it's spread, I don't know. There's the seed line of Adam and Eve through Seth, the white race. You know, they attempted to destroy us when they killed Abel, and Yahweh provided Seth, and our race continued, and we're here today.
Yeah.
Praise Yahweh for that.
Okay.
And
well, here, let me just back up, and I'll read verses 8 through 10 to set the stage of chapter 70.
You're in chapter 70?
70, to set the stage for 71 and 72.
Brother, if I could ask you to... I think we should start at the beginning of chapter 70 because
do it all over
it
again.
lays the groundwork to understand the current moment of time that we find ourselves living in. And to me, this is the very epitome of why these books were written. There will be a remnant at the end of the age that will be surrounded by bewilderment and confusion and racial misunderstanding. And these books were given to us to cement in our minds that there's a divine seed line on the earth, and the white race is that seed line. We are the children. We are the continuation of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes.
That's right.
And all of the cursed Jewish plan to destroy us. There's a race of people at the end of the age that have remained pure and understand who they are and why they're here. That is the epitome of Christian identity.
Well,
the revelation that we are Yahweh's children on the earth in the final days. And these two chapters break it down for us.
Right. Well, here, let me read chapter 70, and I'll paraphrase it. Because this will be actually the third time we've done it, because Pastor Steve and I had run
Brother,
through
we could
this.
Do this. We could do this chapter 100 times, and we wouldn't fully grasp it. That's how much truth there is here. So if this is only our third time in, believe me, we are barely scratching the surface.
So let me paraphrase it, and you jump in.
I'm
as
learning
you
as we go too. I just want to make that clear.
Okay. Here,
I don't pretend to know it all.
Yeah. Here, therefore, the interpretation of the last black waters, which are to come after the black, this is the word. Behold, the days come, and it will be when the time of the age has ripened, and the harvest of its Jews and its white people has come, that the Mighty One will bring upon the earth and its inhabitants, and upon its rulers, perturbation of spirit, easy for Yahweh to say, and stupor of heart.
Brother, read no further. We have to sit here a minute.
Okay.
I want to jump in.
All right.
Behold, the days come, and it will be when the time of the age has ripened. So here's the direct correlation to Matthew 13, you know, with the sower of the good seed and the bad seed and the wheat and the tares. Is this not an absolute perfect correlation?
Yes, it is.
It is a perfect correlation. And how much clearer could it be? The harvest of evil and good seed has come. So there is an evil seed. There is a good seed. Obviously, seed here is being spoken of in a metaphorical way.
Yeah. Well, I said
seed
both.
Clearly is people.
Right. Yes.
What else could it be? You know, you're not talking about crops of corn and wheat. You know, obviously, this is a metaphorical language. And we're talking about two seed lines here.
Right. Yeah. But in the Hebrew, it's zera, and it means human seed as well as it could mean any kind of seed, really. You know, so whether metaphorical or not, the reference is to bipeds, beasts of the field seed and Adamic seed. There's no doubt about that. Okay.
There's zero doubt. We're not even at 99%. I mean, it's 100% certain we are talking about two seed lines of people here.
Yeah. All right. You know? Verse 3, yes. And they will hate one another and provoke one another to fight. And the Jews will rule over the whites. And those of low degree will be extolled above the famous. That the dregs will be raised above the honorable. And the many will be delivered into the hands of the Jews. And those who are nothing will rule. That's the Jews who are nothing will rule over the strong. And the poor will have abundance beyond the rich through the welfare state created by the Jews. And the impious, the Jews, will exalt themselves above the heroic. Am I going too far with this paraphrase?
No. Let me jump into Matthew chapter 13 here.
Okay.
I'm to the parable of the wheat and the tares.
Okay.
I'm not even going to read it. I'm just going to jump straight to chapter 13, verse 29. But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So clearly, there are two types of seed that were planted on the earth.
That's right.
Yahweh's children and the children of the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find it a fascinating and interesting discussion to figure how far has been the spread of the satanic seed line. Sometimes I think it includes every other person on this planet that is not white.
Yeah.
And then other times I back away from that interpretation and think some of these races perhaps were put here to be servant races to us in the next coming age, the eternal age. Obviously the Jews are the satanic seed line for sure. Mm-hmm. They're called out. They are clearly of the devil. How the other races fit in, I think it's hard to be dogmatic about it.
Yes.
You know, to me, when I look, and here's an example of how I think. I look at Negroes, blacks, whatever you want to call them. I find them a despised, ridiculous, infantile, criminal race. But are they satanically spawned? I wonder to myself, had we never brought them over here and they were all left to live over in Africa and live out their little jungle lives and do what the hell they do and kill and rape and conquer right. and whatever it is that they right. do, they may have well have extinguished themselves by now. To me, they're like animals, never meant to have been brought into civilization.
That's right.
Yet somehow humanity has been bestowed upon them. Obviously, yeah. the Jews were behind all of this. It's like they injected that poison into us
That's
to
right.
damage us.
That's right. Yeah,
Are they a devil-inspired race? I cannot say. Sometimes I think yes. Other times I think no. I can't say. So I don't yeah. come out and right. break it down with any kind of authority okay. that I have an answer for it.
Okay. Well,
obviously,
remember.
Go ahead, brother. Jump in.
Yeah. Yeah, Genesis 3:1 says that the beast that seduced Eve was more cunning than any beast of the field, okay? Or the Nahash, yeah. rather, was more cunning. Blacks aren't yeah. that cunning. They just don't have that, you know. Left to themselves, there's no way they could deceive a white man. You know,
kidding me?
Yeah, no, they don't have that kind of intelligence, so...
Yeah, they walk around grabbing their genitals, and they
right.
I don't know. Brother, don't get me started.
Whose genitals?
You know, I got to tell a quick story. I went to the okay. grocery store tonight.
Okay.
And, you know, I had to stock up on some food. So I had a pretty good, you know, grocery thing full of food. And I go to this grocery store. And this will actually make me sound like a kind of a racist, which, truth okay. be told, I'm pretty much a racist.
Okay.
And I'm looking at all 10. This is a big grocery store. All 10 cashiers were uh-huh. black. I don't uh-huh. care if there's like 5 black cashiers with nobody in the line and there's a white cashier with 6 or 8 people with big baskets.
Right.
I will jump into that line.
And
I
you'll
don't
check
want
out quicker.
Black,
you'll
I
check
don't
out
want
quicker
them
too.
Touching my vegetables.
Right.
My, I don't want them touching my canned goods.
Right.
I would rather... wait 10 yeah. minutes in line for yeah. a young, attractive white girl to check me out.
Right.
And, you know, you
or
know
even,
Javonte.
Or even an older you know, white lady.
Yo, so did you find everything you're looking for? I'm so...
I can't take it. They freak yeah. me out. I don't want yeah. them to touch anything I'm going to eat.
Right.
I realize
it's
these are
obvious.
Creatures that should not even be living among us.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
Yeah. But the Jews have
Brother,
erased
I'm,
that.
I'm clearly a racist. I just admit it. I
yeah.
only want to be around my own kind because I realize we are a divine race. We are spawned by the creator of the universe.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say it.
Yeah. Blacks
I don't
want to
see other races around me. Yeah. I don't want to see blacks. I don't want to see Asians. We're living in the weirdest age that's ever been ever. Right now,
oh, it is.
Apart
yeah.
from when the maybe when the fallen angels
war.
Were coming to Earth
yeah.
and meeting with anything that moved and spawning demented, bizarre creatures, and you know that was maybe a little weirder than now, but I don't know that it is.
Yes,
it's
clear.
Living in.
It's clear that only Jews have that kind of cunning, and blacks just don't have it. Without the Jews directing their movements, virtually every movement politically and economically,
you know,
blacks would
I gotta
be no,
ask a
nothing
quick question.
Nowhere.
I don't know how many people are in the chat room, but is there anybody else that thinks like me that when they go to the grocery store and they see black cashiers that they just like go, they'd rather wait in 5 or 6 people with carts in front of them
yeah,
with
right.
a young attractive white girl. She didn't have to be attractive. At least she's white.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want a black okay. person checking me out. I don't want them touching what I'm going to take home and eat.
But you had no choice. All 10 all 10 checkouts had black
Pastor,
people, right?
Pastor Steve. I love pastors. I never even met you, brother. I love you. I know there's people
like
that think
at
like
the
me.
Zoo, right?
It's
at the
to
zoo.
Be a handful of people that think like me. I just want to be around my own kind, brother.
Yes.
I don't want a black person checking me out.
Yeah,
I don't even want to. If I go a year without
seeing
one of them, I'm a happy guy.
You want paradise, right? You want peace and prosperity without Negroes, without Jews, you know, without the other races.
I don't even want a Chinese person to check me out.
Yeah, right.
You know, Brother Herbert, praise Yahweh for you.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I love the fact that I have racial understanding. And by that I mean, I understand there's two seed lines on this planet. There's a divine race. There's a satanic race. Yes. Where the other races fit in, we can debate that over a good glass of wine. But we are at war, and war has been declared upon our people. And we've kind of got our asses kicked for the last 1,000 years. But we're going to win this thing. It's going to happen. We are the victorious race.
Yeah.
Let's jump back into Brooke, brother. And, you were starting
and
to read.
And our butts are red from the kicking, right?
I'm talking about me at the grocery store, Negro cashiers. Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I get distracted. Jump back in.
Yeah. And verse 5, and the whites will be silenced, and the Negroes will speak. Neither will the thought of men be then confirmed, nor the counsel of the mighty, nor will the hope of those who hope be confirmed. Will be, what's the word? Frustrated. Everything that we white people try to accomplish will be frustrated. Moreover, it will be when those things which were predicted have come to pass that confusion will fall upon all men, and I believe by men here we're talking all bipeds, not just white people.
Yeah.
And some of them will fall in battle, and some of them will perish in anguish, and some of them will be destroyed by their own, of course, in Jew-arranged wars. Verse 7, then the Most High will reveal to those peoples whom he has prepared before, whom he has prepared before, that's us, and that was my reference to Ezekiel chapter 39, okay? The world, Yahweh will reveal to the world, and of course, he has to reveal it to our people first, because there's not enough of our people who know that they're Israel. And they will come and make war with the leaders that shall then be left. And it will come to pass that whosoever gets safe out of the war will die in the earthquake. And whosoever gets safe out of the earthquake will be burned by the fire. And whosoever gets safe out of the fire will be destroyed by famine. Etc., etc., etc. So, hard times ahead. We haven't quite reached this stage.
Let me jump back into Matthew chapter 13.
Okay.
I want to read what I believe is one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. Chapter 13, we're in Matthew, verse 36 sets the groundwork. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And then verse 38 to me is one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. The field is the world. Mm-hmm. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now listen carefully. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. If that doesn't right there lay out the foundational truth of Christian, two seed line Christian identity, I don't know what does. That is the bedrock of what we believe.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it again. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So the wicked have children, just as the good does.
That's
Yahweh
right.
has children on this earth. The wicked have children on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
It is clear that people don't become evil as Judeo-Judaized Christianity teaches us. There are children on this planet that are born. They are born of a satanic being.
Born evil.
This is the seed line of Cain.
That's right.
It's being laid out. It couldn't be any more clear. Brother, I went to 4 years of Bible college. They never broke this down for me.
No,
it's a miracle I even ever saw it.
Did you
Yahweh
ever,
is merciful.
Did they ever study Matthew chapter 13
in Bible I don't remember.
College? Okay, John
just
8,
all,
Matthew 23.
I don't remember what, brother, I've tried to wash it out of my head what they taught me.
Right, understood.
But now I understand that the wicked ones have children on the earth,
yes,
just
they do.
Like Yahweh has children on the earth.
Right, Goldstein's,
is that not two
Epstein's,
seed line Christian identity?
Right.
The true faith
right.
is there are two seed lines on the earth. Yeah, you can debate how far the evil seed line has spread into the other races, and I find it an interesting discussion. And my opinion is constantly changing. But I know one thing, the Jews are clearly the evil seed line.
Yes, no doubt.
Enemy that sowed them is the devil.
Is the devil, right? You are of your father, the devil.
The harvest is John the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels.
Yeah.
I mean, Matthew chapter 13 is one of the greatest chapters in all of Scripture. I love Matthew chapter 13.
Brother, you and I and the rest of us in Christian identity, we're the only ones who want the judgment day to come now.
I know. Everybody else is scared to death of it. We're jumping up and down saying, can it come now?
Come on. What is this, the Preakness?
And I want to get. I want to get.
We're betting on that horse called Judgment Day. Right? Run!
I'm going to grapple with Pastor Steve over who gets to light the torch to burn up, the George Soros's and the
lots.
Chuck Schumer's. And I don't know, Pastor Steve. Right. He might kick my butt. I don't know, but man, I'll put up a fight. But I want to light the bundles of some of those Jews. I want to watch them burn.
Yeah,
that's their destiny. I'm guessing deep down, he'll go, "Listen, brother, I'm going to kick your ass, but how about we just light that bundle together?" And I'm going to go, "Yeah, I'm okay with that, man. Let's get Eli in here too."
Pastor Howard, all you are saying is that you want to see a real Holocaust.
It's way overdue. They owe us one.
Right.
They've been kidding us. They've been joking about it.
They have been.
40, 50 years.
Yes, they have.
They owe us. They owe us a Holocaust.
And the laugh has been on us, but that's going to turn quickly, real quickly. Verse 9, and it will come to pass that whosoever of the victors and the vanquished gets safe out of and escapes all these things aforesaid, will be delivered into the hands of my servant Messiah. So, if you escape the earthquakes, if you escape the fire, if you escape the firing squad, then guess what? You have to face Jesus Christ, Yahshua Messiah.
Yeah, good luck getting through that.
Yeah, right?
You escaped everything else somehow, and now you stand before the true Son of Yahweh.
Right. For all the earth will devour its inhabitants. Nobody's escaping this judgment day. Nobody. Not even the Judeo-rapturists. Especially them. Okay?
Brother, that verse you just read.
Uh-huh.
For all the earth will devour its inhabitants.
That's right.
This is obviously a prophetic message that has not happened yet.
No.
This has not yet. And we established the chronology of Baruch at around... He was a contemporary of Jeremiah.
Yeah.
So we put him between 450 and 500 BC, right in that time period.
Yeah, right.
And so we are looking at this at, 2017. Yes. So approximately 2,500 years ago, give or take a few years. So this prophecy was given to us 2,500 years ago. And it is so profoundly accurate.
Yes.
It's just the perfect message.
Well, one thing
for the
is
remnant
for sure.
In the final days.
Amen. Amen. For those of us who are meant to understand, okay? One thing is for sure, we will not have an overpopulation problem once this judgment day is over, okay? We will not have that problem anymore. Chapter 71, and the Holy Land, and the Holy Land will have mercy on its own, that is us, and it will protect its inhabitants at that time.
Let's stop right there if you don't mind. So this phrase, the Holy Land will have mercy on its own and will protect its inhabitants at that time. Let's talk about that. Do you think he's talking about the so-called land of Israel over there in Palestine?
No
chance whatsoever.
No, none.
Is there anything holy about the
unholy land, Israel,
today? It's exactly as Adolf Hitler predicted in Mein Kampf that it would be a criminal headquarters for the Jews to flee to when their activities were found out.
Was that Adolf
There's nothing
Manchu?
Holy whatsoever.
Or Adolf Hitler who said that.
So Harry to Max me, says... there's only one interpretation. The Holy Land will have mercy on its own.
That's right.
That could only be the white nations of the world. It could be Europe. It could be the United States. It could be the Scandinavian countries, the white lands of the world. It could be nothing else. I don't think there's I think this is an easy verse to interpret.
Sure. Well, Harry Mack, he quotes also the New Testament, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And that's obvious that the Jews cannot produce good fruit, no doubt about it. One quick thing, Pastor Steve just reminded me, mentioning Trump, that he has conceded to make a trip to Israel and meet with the tares. Because we have been saying all along, once he dons that yarmulke and bangs his head against the Wailing Wall, then we will know that he is no longer, you know, that he does not represent, if he ever did, the white race or America. He represents
I think we underestimated the subtlety and trickery of Jewry with Trump.
Okay.
I believe, this is only my own opinion, I believe they pulled a fast one on us and realized that everybody hated Hillary. So I believe that Trump was their man all along, and they had him say the things that would ignite the votes and get the white race behind him.
Right.
And you look at what he's done since he's been in there, and I can't prove that. That's just my opinion, and I'm not even sure it's right. But I mean, I think we underestimated the power of Jewry in that election.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious they have utterly surrounded him. If it wasn't obvious during the campaign, it's obvious now. Everyone,
he's clearly been subverted by Jewry.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. His daughter's married to a Jew who he somehow is elevated to a major advisor. He's the classic Jew behind the curtain.
Yeah. In fact, and a friend of mine called me
Pastor
up.
Pastor Steve said it. They played us for suckers.
Right.
Again.
A friend of mine.
Did we not buy in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we wanted to have good news.
I hadn't voted for years because the system made me crazy.
Sucker.
I went and registered to vote. Right. I voted for Trump. And I was tricked, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not certain, but I look at what's going on, but I don't know. I voted for the guy.
Yeah, well, we'll see if he bangs his head against the Wailing Wall the wall of Herod while wearing a yarmulke. It's over.
You know, it's over. Yeah, I personally believe it's already over. But if we see that, then we'll know the Jews tricked us once again. You know,
right? Well, you they always have Plan B. They always have Plan
the
B.
The serpent came
necessary.
To Eve and was very subtle and tricked her into spreading her legs for an evil being. And maybe they've done it to us one more time.
Yeah. Well, Hillary got a case of kuru from eating baby brains, and therefore she's gone bonkers and uncontrollable, right? So they dumped Hillary. And they knew they could wrap their fingers around Trump anytime they needed to, okay? As, whether with its threats or blackmail or intimidation, who knows, or whether
maybe they really do have, you know, because he was on the plane a few times with the Jew Epstein down to the island with all the young girls. Who knows what maybe they have film of him doing?
Who can tell? You never know.
They've clearly got their hand on him whenever they want. It's obvious.
Yes, blackmail ability to coin a phrase. Okay, all right, this is the vision which thou hast seen. And this is the interpretation. For I have come to tell thee these things because thy prayer has been heard with the Most High. And from here on, it's Yahshua coming to visit us. Why don't you read it? We got 15 minutes left.
Yeah, we're jumping into the real meat of this revelation here. This is the revelation of the end of this age, the judgment being unveiled. Uh-huh. The evil being judged,
and the second coming,
the eternal age on this earth.
No king but Yahshua, right? This is the prophecy of the second coming, right here.
This is really what it's all about, and we are the age that has at least the best chance to actually see this happen during our lifetime. Yeah. Whether it will or not, it's hard to say. It's impossible to say, but all the signs are there, and I believe the fact that we're even into this book is a sign to us that it's that close.
Oh, yeah.
Because this book has probably lain, dormant for centuries, the Apocalypse of Baruch. Well, who's even heard of this book apart from a handful of people on the earth?
Well, Ezekiel, again, the dead men's bones. All right.
You walk into your average Judeo-Christian church with 500, 1,000 members, and if they let me come out and, you know, get up in front of the podium, which they would never do, or if they did, they'd probably throw me out in about 30 seconds. And I said, I want everyone in here to raise their hand who's ever even heard that there is a book called The Apocalypse of Baruch.
Uh-huh.
Is there a single person in here that has ever even heard of this book?
Who even heard of Baruch?
Yeah.
Jeremiah Baruch is mentioned, scribe.
Baruch is mentioned twice in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah.
Uh-huh.
And he's mentioned in it somewhat of an insignificant way.
Yeah, right.
But he's mentioned two times in the book of Jeremiah.
Right.
So he is a legitimate historical character in the Bible.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
But no mention of his spectacular prophetic writings.
Yes.
These are hidden books.
Yes.
These are not for everyone.
Okay, Greg. Take chapter 72.
Chapter 72 here. So here now also regarding the bright lightning, which is to come at the consummation after these black waters. This is the word. Mm-hmm. After the signs have come, of which thou wast told before, when the nations become turbulent. Brother, let me ask you this. Are the nations turbulent right now?
If you look at the headlines, I think so. Right?
How interesting.
War
that
with Korea, North Korea.
North,
right?
Korea. Would you consider that a turbulent country?
Sort of, yes. How about China?
I would.
How about Russia?
China?
How about all of Europe? How about Australia?
How about
Canada?
Russia? How about all everywhere? The turbulence going on in the white nations around
Not
the world?
Not to mention the Middle East.
The nations are clearly turbulent.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues, and the time of my Messiah is come.
Ah.
Wow. We can't just pass that by.
No.
Yahweh is declaring, the nations will become turbulent.
Yes.
And the time of my Messiah
has
come.
All right.
Brother, jump in.
Yeah.
Break it down for us. To me, are one of the top Christian identity theologians on the planet.
Oh, excuse me.
When you hear that phrase, no pressure or nothing,
yeah,
but
right.
When you hear the phrase, the time of my Messiah is come.
Yeah. Well, it's Matthew chapter
24. What's your thoughts on that?
Matthew chapter 24, when people ask him, you know, what will be the sign of your coming? And the signs of the times, there will be lightning from horizon to horizon. And I come as a thief in the night when you least expect me to. But and then he asks, well, can you not see the signs of the times? It seems like only those of us in identity have any awareness of what these times are like, and that these troublous times are necessary to precede the second coming. Not even the average Christian is aware, has enough understanding of scriptures to figure out. They don't see
off.
The signs of the times. They don't see it.
They're waiting. They have been deceived by Jewry to expect a rapture.
Right.
I was trained in that premillennial nonsensical theology when I went to Bible college. That
right.
When it gets so bad, all the Christians will be raptured out and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
And
the Jews will convert.
Right. Yeah. All the Jews will somehow magically be saved because they're the chosen people. I mean, it's so insane. Once you see this truth, once it's unveiled to you, you realize the massive deception that the Jews have foisted upon our people. The time of my Messiah is come. That will be the most life-changing event for everyone on this planet that it has ever seen.
Oh, man.
The return of Yahshua Christ
right.
to the earth? I don't care what your life is like. It,
yeah.
it is officially
to
totally changed
vengeance,
at that moment.
To take vengeance on his enemies? Can you imagine?
Brother,
you don't
I don't
be
think
one of
I
his
can
enemies.
Imagine.
You don't want to be one of his enemies when he comes back.
Yeah. Pastor Steve just made a great comment. I got to read it. Jews will convert to ashes.
There you go.
There it is.
The real Holocaust is going to happen. Folks.
Finally, we get
one.
A real one. They
yes.
owe us one.
They do.
We've been hearing about it for so long.
Yeah.
Finally, we're going to have the one that we should have had a long time ago.
It's like they can't help it. They can't help themselves, right?
Have you seen, by the way, have you seen where the Jews have now come out with these holographic interviews. I just saw that a couple of days ago. I don't know if anyone else saw it.
Holocaustic interviews.
Yeah, a holograph. So all the Jews that said they were in the Holocaust are dying now. So okay. They're desperately trying to, you know, keep alive this massive hoax.
Yes.
Because it puts shekels in their pocket, and it keeps all the, you know, all the whites from coming after them.
Does the hologram have flames?
But they've come out with this. They've come out with these holographic Jews. You know, telling their tales of
that's their only
they, you know,
that's
I was
their only
the,
chance Dr. at immortality.
Dr. Mengele was experimenting right. on me, and you know, every morning he would inject me with this.
Yeah, I mean, they're
having holographs doing that now, and they're bringing this into schools and inflicting this satanic filth guilt trip on young white children's minds. Which,
yes.
you know, I'm immune to it. You cannot infect me anymore with it. I get it.
Right.
But when you come into, you know, young white children and they're susceptible young minds.
And they're being forced.
They
fed.
Are very susceptible to this filth.
It's total indoctrination by Jews in the public school system paid for by the taxpayer.
Yahweh, cover our young people from this satanic attack.
But when Messiah comes, he will both summon all the nations, and some of them he will spare, and some of them he will slay.
Now, there is another fascinating, incredible verse that we could spend multiple shows on. So when the nations come before him, some will be spared, some he will slay. How interesting.
Okay.
This is where we begin to have the understanding that some of the other races apparently will survive into the coming age. You know?
Uh-huh. Well, not all of them are guilty of crimes against us. Okay, not all of them. But Genesis 12:3 says, if you bless the progeny, the direct descendants of Abraham, you will be blessed. If you curse them, you will be cursed. So that is what they will be judged according to. Since they were never given the law, they can't, you know, they can't be held to the same standard as we Israelites. The fact is, the scriptures say judgment begins in the house of Israel, okay, according to how well or badly we obey his laws, okay? And this is how Yahweh will demonstrate to the world that we are his people.
Yeah, and Pastor Steve said a statement that I found myself in total agreement with. He goes, they will serve in subjection to true Israel.
Amen.
I think he just hit the nail right on the head. Right. These other races, and we're keeping the Jews out of it. The Jews are destined for hellfire.
Oh, sure.
There's no question whatsoever. Yeah. I don't believe a single one of their seed line will survive. But these other races were clearly created to be servant races to us. And in the coming age, they will live in total subjection to us. I believe to the point where if one of them disobeys, any true Israelite will literally have the ability to just snuff out that life with a thought, with an action, without even a hesitation.
Yeah, right.
There won't be any of the nonsense that we are today. You know, in the coming age, if someone needs to be snuffed, we'll just snap our fingers and they're snuffed.
Right.
That's it.
Okay. Tell me if Luke 19:27 correlates to the verse we just read. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
Yeah, brother, that's exactly it. What was that verse again? I want to write that cross reference in. Luke.
That's Luke 19:27. And let me read the apocalypse here again. He will both summon all the nations, and some of them he will spare, and some of them he will slay. But he loves everybody, right?
We don't have time. I have about 6 or 8 cross references here in Psalms and Enoch and Zechariah and Matthew that we'll get into next week, and we'll explore a little bit further this concept of the judgment and what goes on at the end of the age. Because it's quite detailed here. I mean, we have a few minutes left, but
right
next
well, here,
week
let me
I want
to
get
the rest of because it correlates well with Zechariah 14. Let me just read verses 3 through 6, and we can do more discussion of this next week. These things, therefore, will come upon the nations which are to be spared by him. Every nation which knows not Israel and has not trodden down the seed of Jacob shall indeed be spared. This is exactly what Zechariah says.
It's a very profound verse right there, yes.
Okay. And this because some out of every nation will be subjected to thy people, as Pastor Steve just said. They will be subjected to us. Verse 6, but all those who have ruled over you or have known you shall be given up to the sword.
Who could he be talking about there?
who
has ruled over our race? Who has known who we really are? Uh-huh. Who has done everything they could to destroy our people from the time of the Garden of Eden to the current moment in time? Who would you identify as that group of people
that will
be put to the sword?
Shall I paraphrase, Pastor Howard?
I'll give you a hint. It starts with J.
Right.
All right.
And it ends with W, right? J-E-W.
Yeah. Or S,
but
if you're going plural.
But all those Jews who have ruled over you or have known you shall be given up to the sword. They don't get spared.
Yeah, and I have a note here, and we'll get into my notes more next week, but I have a note here, non-white nations here being discussed, and then I put in spared does not mean they are given eternal life being a participant of the covenants to the Israelite people.
Yeah, we don't want to be accused of saying that non-whites become Israelites.
They're going to be our slaves, our servants.
Two different
concepts. We're going
entirely
to have the ability to smash them into pieces as the potter does the vessels of clay, as John discusses.
Okay.
In the coming age, if someone pisses you off, if someone disrespects you from another race, if someone does not subject themselves to us in the coming age, you will literally be able to destroy them according to the way John lays it out and what I believe is being said here. But there will be total subjection in the coming age. They will realize who we are and who they are.
Right.
The
and
concept
also,
that they can be like us is long gone.
No, that's not possible. Leopard cannot change its spots. Brother Hebert talks about the other Adamic nations that are not Israelites. They will be spared as well, because the vast majority of them have done true Israel no harm. Okay? They will be spared as well. So, but I think it's talking, you know, these verses in Baruch are talking about the non-Adamic races and how they relate to us. So,
and the true order will be restored.
Yes.
That the Jews are the masters of destroying the order.
That's right.
You know, they just do they not love? That's why they're flooding our lands with dark races.
They're destroying
the order of that Yahweh has created. You know, you bring 500 Somalian Negroes into a town. Do you think that's going to be a positive thing for that white town, or is it a destructive influence?
Well,
I don't think we need to break that down too much.
No,
you know,
no, it's pretty
obvious. These are jungle. These are jungle animals that they don't even know how to use a toilet. You throw a couple thousand of them in a white town?
Yeah. That's right. They know how to fill the toilet, but not how to clean it. All right, Pastor Greg, great show tonight. It's been great fun. Thanks for joining me again tonight. Folks, thanks for listening.
Praise Yahweh, brother.
Pass the ammunition. This has been Yahweh's Covenant People for May 19th, 2017. See you all next time.